Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Menachos Mem Gimel. We are on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis, seven lines off the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, here comes a braisa. Tchelas, Ein Lo Bedika, one cannot really discern the blue wool to see if it's really legitimate blue from a legitimate source, from the Chid Lazim, or perhaps it's just imitation blue, fake blue, which the Gemara calls Kala Ilan, due to the fact that original blue was very expensive and very rare. They would sometimes try to imitate and substitute the real one for fake. Says the Bryce, there really is no way to discern if it's real or not. Tchelas ain't no bedika. And therefore, what follows is, make sure you buy it from a reputable source, from a certified dealer, from an expert. Vein in the kachas, it is only meant to be purchased elam in a mumcha, from a mumcha. Next item is tefillin, yesh lam bedika. Tefillin you can inspect to ensure it's kashrus. Yesh lam bedika, Rashi says, to see whether there are missing letters, extra letters, so pretty much you can see what it is. Still, says the Braisa, Vein nikochen elam in a mumcha, you should only buy from a mumcha. What's the reason for that? Explains Rashi, because only a mumcha will know that the skin, the cloth, the parchment needs to be processed l'shem, for the sake of tefillin. That's something that doesn't really meet the eye. It's not something which you can see. Make sure you buy it from a proper source. Lastly, Sfarim, that's Sifrei Torah, Umezuzos, Yesh Lahem Bedika. Once again, you can pretty much inspect by looking at them and see if they were written properly. And in this case, v'nikachan v'kalad, you can buy from anybody, because, as Rashi explains, there's no requirement of ibud lishma, of manufacturing the hides, the skins, for the sake of the mezuzah. You can take any skin off the shelf. So, in this case, you're safe. Ask the Gemara on the first item. You can't test the tchelis to determine whether it's real or not. V'tchelis ein lo bedika v'aha. Here come two procedures that were taught by the Chachamim, basically two tests, which allows us to enables us to determine whether it's the original or it's a fake. V'har Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Yehuda, how did he check the tcheles? Badiklei, he would do the bdika as follows. So this was the lab test. Maisi, he would bring an ingredient called Megav Yegila, alum, Rashi says, some sort of chemical. Umay Deshav Lilta, the juice of a tilson plant, fenugreek, right? Umemiraglai, miraglai. So these three ingredients, he would. Benabarmia, miraglaim is 40 days old. Vitar lobagavai, and he would soak the this blue material in this mix throughout the night, miurtavatsaf, litsafar from the evening till the morning. And he would check it in the morning. This was the test. Ifrat chazuse, if the coloring got, you know, weaker, if it ran, if it faded, psula, that's not real tchelis, which would hold up under these conditions, so it's fake. But lo yifrat chazuse, if the color remained intact, then you know it's the real stuff, kshera. That was one procedure, one type of test. Rav Ada committed Rava. So Rav Ada presented to Rava, Mishmein, the name of the Rav Avira Amar. This is the test that he had been taught. He says, Maisi chamiro. Chamiro is sourdough, like yeast, right? Araksa, really strong, acidic dough, you know, sourdough. This is already made of barley. And so you take this ingredient, va'afilo begavei, and you would bake the blue wool, this blue sample, in this mix, and take a look at it after the baking. Ishtanoi l'mal yusav, it looks better than before, then you know it's good, kshera. If there was an upgrade, then it's v'shot cheles. If there was a downgrade, l'kriyusa, then it's psula. V'simonech, a simple way to remember this is shinui sheker, shinui emes. If it changes for the negative, then you know it's fake. If it changes upwards, then you know it's good. Bottom line is, we have two separate tests that can be employed to verify the authenticity of the tchilas. What did the Braisa say? There is no way to test it. Answer is, Ma'in lo bedika, when the Braisa said, Ein lo bedika, nam in the car, the Braisa spoke about Ein lo bedika at the ima. Certainly in terms of the actual material, the color itself, you can test that. But you can't test. You know, you can't know? Intention. Perhaps this wool was a sample, was a test dye. It wasn't really for the sake of tzitzis. That you'll never know through any lab test. And that's the concern when you buy tchilis. Maybe it's not for tzitzis. It wasn't produced for tzitzis. So make sure you buy it from a properly certified dealer. Mar, Rashi says, this is the name of a chacham, his name was Mar, from a place called Mashri, Mar mi Mashri. Aizit chelta, he came along with some tchilis. Bishnei, Rav Achoy, while Rav Achoy, during his lifetime. So Rav Achoy was there. But Kua, so the people wanted to, you know, run this test on the tchilis to determine whether it's real. So first they tried the first procedure, the one with the soaking, right? But Kua b'derav Yitzchak b'derav Yehuda v'ifrit chazusei. And sure enough, the color faded. It failed the test. They went on to the next procedure, b'derav Ado, the baking. Oh, this time it worked, it passed. Vishtanei l'mal Yusei, looked even better than before. Sovra l'mifsula. So people thought, okay, it's possible because it failed the first test. Amul Rav Achoy, Rav Achoy was there. Turned to him, he says, look, either you're lying on the test or you don't. So it failed the first and passed the second. So what is it? Not tchilis and not fake? Not real and not fake? What is it? Elaha. So what do you say this is? Loi tchilt, is it not really tchilis? He v'loi kalilim, it's not kalilim as well? You have to figure out how this works. Elo. It must be like this. Shmamina. So certainly, shmu'as, so these two procedures, Hadadi Itma, were presented together as a package. It's sort of a chain procedure, which means like this. If it passes any one of these tests, you're good. But the second test was a bit more difficult, so they would first try the first test. If it passed, okay. If it failed, go on to the second. If it passed the second, you're okay. Hecha de badakna. When we did a bedika with b'derav Yitzchak, b'derav Yehuda, the first procedure, if we try that, and lo yifrit chazusei, and it doesn't fade, and ksher, you know, it's good, it passed the test. Yifrit chazusei, but if it faded, but kin lo b'derav Ado b'chamira arkasa. If it fails the first, we move on to the second with the sa'ir. And we see, ishtam al Yusuf, it changed for the better, then it's ksher. Legri Yusuf for the worse, then it's psula. So in this case, where it failed the first and passed the second, you're good. Sholchom etam, in fact, they sent a message over from Eretz Yisrael. Likewise, Shemosa, Hadadi Itmar, that in fact, both of these tests were set together as a package, as we explained. Rabbi Mani, he dealt with tchelas. Dayek v'zoven k'chomer masnisa. When he would buy his tchelas, he would be extra careful. And would purchase as per the stringency of the braisa, which means that he only brought it from a mumcha. He didn't take any chances. Amalei Usabas, this elder Chacham tells him, good for you, you'll be successful in your endeavor. You're Elech, you're going the extra mile. Heichu hachi, as such, Obed Kamoy de Kamach, the early ones before you, the Erlecha, dealers will do the same. Va'asach iskayu on there. Business boomed. Likewise, you can have success in your panos. Tanu Rabon, lakeach talas mitzayasim nashuk. Okay, so you walk down the street, you find an article of clothing with tzitzis attached to it. Can you assume that it's kosher with tzitzis? Well, it depends who you got it from. Yisrael, you bought it from a yid, harib chaskasa, you know, you presume that it's okay. But minav kichav, you buy from a guy, it depends. Minat tagar, if he's a merchant, he wouldn't want to ruin his reputation, ruin his business. So you could assume it's kosher, it's kosher, it's tzitzis, that he must have purchased from a yid. In a head, you buy from a regular guy in the street, you don't know, psula. Maybe it's, something that he did without the lishma, it's not kosher, it's tzitzis. So, this halacha, that by a merchant, you can assume that he bought it from a yid, that's halachically true, although really, although it was said, that a person shouldn't be selling tzitzis to a guy, period. Like a person may not sell talis with tzitzis hanging on it to a guy. Why? Until he unravels and takes off the tzitzis. My time, why? Two reasons. Here in Bava, they explain Shum Mishum Zoyna. Rashi explains that he might entice a Jewish woman to be with him, the guy, by imposturing as a yid, by wearing this tzitzis, so he shouldn't hand tzitzis over to a guy. Rabbi the Amar. The reason is Shema Yislavim Abederach V'Yargenu, because a guy might use the tzitzis to dress up like yid and accompany a yid on the road, who will feel safe in the guy's company, thinking that he's a yid, and he'll go and injure him, or harm him, kill him. So although you shouldn't be selling to a guy, nevertheless, if you find a merchant with tzitzis, you can assume that he sourced it with a yid. Rabbi Yehuda comes into a store. Rabbi Yehuda ramit chelta. He placed chelas, meaning he attached tzitzis, the presumed inshibese, on the clothes of his family, of his wife, of the females in his home. So that's number one. Number two, mevarach l'safra l'sata b'tzitzis. Secondly, every morning he would make a new bracha l'sata b'tzitzis on his tzitzis. Now, any connection, any correlation between the two? Let's see. Midiramic fact that he applied tzitzis on his wife's begotten. Now, typically we know that an isha is exempt from time-related mitzvah. So the question is, you know, is tzitzis meant for only daytime, so it's time-related, or do we say it's one continuous mitzvah, 24-hour mitzvah? In which case it would make sense. That would explain why his wife would have to wear it. Apparently, he went with the second approach. Midiramic, the fact that he applied a tzitzis on his wife's beged, kasavra, apparently he holds, he's of the position that mitzvah sasei shaloyaz ran gromo. It's not a time-related mitzvah. If that's the case, how do you explain the second half of the story? Why would he make a bracha every morning? Look, if nighttime is exempt, fine, so every day is a new, you know, experience. But if it's all one obligation, it's all one continuum, there are no interruptions. Just make one bracha and keep on going. Wear it on account of that bracha. Why make a new bracha every day? Amayim bracha l'tzafra l'tzafra. The answer is because Rabbi holds by tefillin, calls man shemanichem bracha lein. Every time you put the tefillin on anew, take it off, put it on, you make a new bracha to the Rabbi. Same with the tzitzis. Every time he put on his tzitzis. Well, Yachal Shatir Nami said, then why is that related to the morning? Just basically, every time he took it off and put it back on, he would have to make a bracha. Why are we saying he made a bracha every morning? The answer is, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda Inish Tzniyava. Rabbi Yehuda was a modest person. He was Tzanua, he would always be covered. But L'Shar Le'Glime, he wouldn't take off his robe, whatever, throughout the day. He would only take it off at night. That explains why he made a new bracha every morning. Ask the Gemara, but certainly you got up before morning to learn, right? So why would he make a bracha only at morning, at daybreak? He should make a bracha when he gets up, you know, before daybreak, to put on his new clothes, his daytime clothing. Well, Ma'ishtam B'tzafra. Why is he only making a bracha in the morning? The answer is, Kimishani Miksus Laila Ksus Yom, because that's when he made the switch. From the night beged, you know, the pajamas to the whatever, the night beged that he had, and the daytime beged. Okay, so that necessitated a new bracha. The Rush actually asked, so then he should make a new bracha every night when he puts on the night beged as well. So he says he never took that off. It was always on him. But the daytime beged, he would alternate it. It would be off at night and on in the morning. So bottom line is he held, this is Rabbi Yehuda, he held that tzitzis is really a nighttime obligation as well. It's just that when you put on you switch begadim, you make a new bracha, and it happened to be that this would happen every morning. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. Here comes a Braisa, and Braisa will tell us who is in fact Chayiv in Tzitzis. Hakol Chayiv in Tzitzis. So all segments of Kol Yisrael is Chayiv in Tzitzis, Kehanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Ger, Noshim, Vavad. Okay, so this Tanakama holds like Rav Yehuda. It's not time related because it's continuous, a continuous mitzvah throughout day and night. Rav Shimon, Poiter, but Noshim, he says women are Potter. Why? Because it's a time-related mitzvah. It's limited in time. It's limited to daytime. All those mitzvahs, nashim apturis. Okay, now we're going to analyze this braisa from beginning to end. So we start, Amar Mar, HaKol Chayav Mitzitzis. every yid is chayiv, whether you're a kohen, right? Levi, kohanim, levim, Israel. No, obviously, pshita. I mean, why would I even have to mention that kohanim are included? The kohanim, levim, Israel, and timur, if these three segments are pata, then who's chayiv? Man lechayiv. Why even have to list them? Kohanim is trichle. The main point is to highlight the kohanim. At the chayiv and tzitzis. Why would I think otherwise? Talking about the perhaps I would think, how you look siv, lo yisilva shanis. Semer pishtim yachtim. First and third ones against mixing wool and linen. Shanis. No shanis. Gedilim tasalach. But the puzzle continues. Make tzitzis, and even though it entails a mix of wool and linen. So you would think, this perhaps only applies to a non-kohen. Why? Why is it kind of different in this respect? Mandalay ishtari kilayim agabe. Belivish. Only a Yisro, a non-kohen, who typically is not allowed to wear kilayim. Who the machayiv betzitzis? He wears tzitzis. So he doesn't have the mix in a forbidden manner. So he has to have it in a permissible manner, right? In a tzitzis format. But hani kohanim, but the kohanim, as we know, would sometimes wear kilayim within their service in the Beis HaMikdash. Since kilayim is mutter for them, Rashi explains, the avnet, the belt was a mix of wool. So then, since they already have the kohen gadol's kilayim avnet, since they already have an element of kilayim within their wardrobe, so perhaps they're not obligated to wear tzitzis. They already, do it in a different way. Kamash malan. That's why the brisa comes and says, look. No exceptions. All achayim and tzitzis. Why in hida ishtari bin avoid? Although kohanim are permitted in kalayim within their service while they're doing avoid, below the avoid lo ishti, but not outside the avoid. So typically they can't wear kalayim. So therefore they're in the same boat as everybody else, and they're obligated in tzitzis as well. Okay, Shimon pointed to Ashim. He says women are part of my time of Shimon. Why? Because he holds nighttime is exempt from tzitzis, and women are exempt from time-related mitzvahs. The sanya, risim, oisay, the pasuk says, you're meant to see the tzitzis. Pratlik suksaga, as opposed to a garment which is meant for nighttime wear, where it's dark, you don't see. Naturally, right? Atayim pratlik suslaila. So you're exempting a nighttime garment. Oyein elopsat pratlik susuma. Perhaps nighttime is in, just risim means as opposed to a blind man's clothing. The answer is no. He's certainly obligated. Kshuayim ashat tachasaba. The pasuk comes back to ashat tachasaba. That expands it and covers more cases. Hariksus suma amr, that covers even a blind man's article. So what is the Torah exempting with the words of recent oisim? Probably it's supposed to nighttime. So nighttime is out, blind man is in. Now, why? Why would you go this way? I mean, the Torah is including something and excluding something else. Just to say which one is in, which one is out. Why are you including the blind man's and excluding the nighttime? The answer is marmani suma. It's more likely to include the blind man, sheyeshna b'riya etzel acherim. Although he can't see, but it's something that others can see. Right? It's seeable, right? As opposed to nighttime, when it's pitch black for everybody. Nobody can see. Now, ask the Gemara, Rabbanan will hold that women are chayiv, right? The Tanakh holds that women are chayiv in tzitzis. Apparently, the whole is not limited to time, because you're chayiv in tzitzis even at night. So, what's the pasuk teaching when it says ashat chasaba? What is it including? Rashi explains it can't be coming to include a suma, a blind man's clothing, because look, even nighttime when it's pitch black for everybody. According to Rabbanu Yochayev, certainly a blind man's, which is seen by others, right? So, what was the point of that pasuk? Hayashat echasav oyavli. Miboylik, look, the sanya is needed for the following halacha, to cover even a five-cornered garment. Look at the sanya, al arba kanfei suscha, placed the tzitzis on a beggar with four corners, right? Arba v'lishalish, four, not three. Three-corner is exempt. Atoim arba v'lishalish, you're exempting a three-cornered beggar. And perhaps exempt a five-cornered beggar as well. That's covering another case, expanding it to a five-cornered beggar. So what does the pasuk mean when it says four? If you include even five, why even to exclude three? So three is out, five is in. Who's to say? Who says? Am I Rois L'Rabbis Balash Chomish, Laitzi Balash Shalish? Why are you including five and excluding three? The answer is, it's more likely Marbani Balash Chomish makes more sense to include five. Sheish Bechlal Chomish Arba, and every five there's four. So it is a four-cornered garment, right? The extra corner doesn't detract. As opposed to a three, which never got to four. Within three, you don't have four, so it's out. Now, how does Rav Shimon know a five-cornered garment? Rav Shimon ma'asher nafka, says asher tachasaba. Asher covers the extra. Rabban asher le'masher, Rabban don't dwell on the word asher. It's just a mode of language. Now comes the obvious question. Urisa ma'isai, which according to Rav Shimon excluded nighttime. Rabban who say you wear tzitzis at night, what happened to Urisa ma'isai? Rabban high risa ma'isai ma'avda, what do you do with risa ma'isai? It's meant to give you the message, the meaning behind the mitzvah of. Sorry, it's meant to give you the time. Get to the message soon. The time frame of mitzvah tzitzis, which according to Rabban is limited to daytime, which begins when it starts getting light, when you can start seeing, discerning the difference between the white and the blue threads, right? Which is when you start saying Krishna. That's when you wear your tzitzis as well. So it was a zechartem. Take a look at the tzitzis and you'll remind yourself. What does that mean? Re'ei mitzvah zu, zuchar mitzvah acheres hatluya bo. When you see the tzitzis and you can tell them apart, it's light enough, then zuchar, you should be reminded. It should trigger in your mind that it's time for the other mitzvah as well. Krishma, which is taloi, in tzitzis. I mean, it coincides with the zman of tzitzis, as we find in the Mishnah. Veitzis of Krishma. It's not meimas akon Shema bar shachrus. What's the earliest time in the morning you say the Shema? Vishyakam etchel slam. Once you can tell the difference between the blue and the white. Okay, v'tani we have another brisa on this phrase. Risa moisay uzachartem re'ei mitzvah zu uzachar mitzvah acher hasmachala. When you see the tzitzis, it reminds you of the mitzvah which is stated next to tzitzis in the Torah. Vezu, which one is that? Vezu, Mrs. Kalai, right? Tachsiv, as the pasuk says, Usilva shatnes, don't mix the tzemer pisht miyachdav. Look at the tasalacha. So tzitzis connects you to Kalayim. They're sort of two opposites, right? Tanya, we have another brisa on the pasuk, Risa Moise Zachartim, Etkom Tzitz Hashem. What's the connection between tzitzis and all the mitzvahs? Once a person is obligated in tzitzis, it becomes a bar mitzvah, right? Neschai becomes his kulon, he has to do all the mitzvahs. And Rashi explains that this is obviously going with Rav Shimon, right, who says that only a male, a zachar, chayv and tzitzis, has to do all the mitzvahs. Because according to the Rabbanon, even a woman is chayv and tzitzis, and she doesn't have to do all the mitzvahs, she's exempt from many mitzvahs, right? Reb Shimoni, the Omar mitzvah as ish is man gromah, right? The Gemara explains, going on Reb Shimoni. Tani, we have another brisa. Urisa moishe zachar, tim is kol mitzvah Hashem. What do we learn from here? Shkula mitzvah zu, keneg kol mitzvah kulam. So tzitzis corresponds to all the mitzvahs. Rashi brings that the numerical of tzitzis is 613, because the word tzitzis is 600, 5 knots and 8 threads, so it's 8 strings, that's 613. We're going to see soon that the tzitzis is like a uniform where you identify with Hashem's service, so it's sort of commits it to all the mitzvahs. B'tan yidach b'hem another b'ayis. On this pasuk, Risa Moise Zachartim Asisen. Re'iyo mi'be yidei zechira. It's a chain reaction. When you see, when you notice, and you take notice, and you take interest, it reminds you. Reminds you of what? Of doing what's right. Zechira mi'be yidei asir. When you remember, when you recall, you actually do it. Reb Shimon Echayoymer, he says like this, Kol Azor is mitzvah zu. Person who's meticulous in mitzvah of tzitzis, zoichav ro'im kal p'nei shechina, he'll merit to appreciate the light the aura of the Shekhinah. What's the connection? Ksivach urisim oisai. You see oisai. Ksiv hasam. By Hashem. As Hashem lakechatir. V'oisai savi. So when you have the tzitzis, urisim oisai, you'll be able to see kaviyachal, the Shekhinah, had that connection to Hashem. Tan Rabban, Chaviv and Yisrael, Kadir Uyar, Klal Yisrael. Hashem encased us in a cocoon of holiness, cocoon of mitzvahs. Sheshiv v'naklesh boch of mitzvahs. Look, we're surrounded. Tefillin b'rashein, tefillin on the head, tefillin on the arm, as they're saying. Betzitzis, big day on the garment. Mezuzah b'schem, mezuzah on the doorway. So on the person, the garment, and the house, we're all surrounded. V'alein, Amar David, on this David HaMelech says, Sheva v'yim l'alticha mishpatei tzidkecha. I praise you on the seven aspects of Kedusha that surrounds us. What are the seven? Rashi says, the two tefillins and the four tzitzis and the mezuzah, total of seven. In fact, u'b'shah shenichnas David l'beis ha-merchas, when David HaMelech entered the bathhouse, v'ra'a atzmai o'yim adar, received himself without clothing, without the mitzvahs. Omar, he says, Oilish Amad Arbla Mitzvah, look, I'm standing here, bereft of any mitzvah. Arbla Mitzvah. V'kibash Niska B'milabad. As soon as he recalled that he has a mitzvah stamped within him, the mila on his flesh, he was pleased. La'achashiyotz. After he left the Beis HaMerchatz, Omar La'ashira. He made a special song, a special shira, to express his appreciation about having the Mila internalized to the point that if nothing else, you always have the Mila. It's a constant, permanent imprint of Hashem within the person. Shenemar al-Matzeach al-Shminis. So he conducted a song al-Shminis relating to eight, the eighth day. Mizvah David al-Mila shenitam b'shmini, regarding Mila that was given to be done on the eighth day of after birth. Person keeps all these mitzvahs surrounded all around tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah. Hakol bechizuk shloyach. He's guaranteed to be protected from sinning. Shenemar v'chuta meshulosh. This threesome, right? The tefillin, the tzitzis, and the mezuzah. Loy meir yinotek, will not be severed quickly. Meaning, it's a triple guarantee, triple protection. The Malach Hashem surrounds us, watches us, those that keep the mitzvahs, protects us from sin. Tanya, Hayar Me'omer, Manishtana, and Chelis Mkomini Tzevoinim. Why is it that the Torah chose blue of all the colors? Answer, blue resembles the blue of the ocean, which resembles the sky, which resembles Hashem's abode. V'yam devil l'rakia, rakia l'kisya kovet, shenema v'tachas ragol k'masi l'vnas ha-sapr, k'yatzim Hashem ayin l'tor. So one pasuk tells us that the mokum of Hashem, kav yachol, is similar to the shamay. So we have that connection. U'ksiv k'mare evan sapr d'mus kisei. And the pasuk says that the kisei of the kisya kovet, Hashem is like evan sapr. Which is, as we said, the kemas livnas asaper ketsam shal Torah, right? So the same color, the sky and the kisei is the same color. Right, so that's one link. Rashi explains, Rashi continues the chain. Once you know that the kisei is saper and so is the rakia, and we know that Tcheles and Yam are similar, that we see, and we know that the Yam and the Rukia are similar, so now we have the full connection. Tcheles to the Yam, to the Rukia, to the Kisei HaKavod. Okay, so it keeps us cognizant of Hashem's presence and our allegiance and Tveikas B'Hashem. Tanya, Hoyra Me'oimer. On this topic of allegiance, Godol Einshei Shalavon Yoisei Einshei Shal Tcheles. The penalty that's applied for a person who the einish debt is due when a person ignores the love on the white strings, which are easy to come by, is more severe than the blue, because blue is hard to come by. But loving should be easy. Mashal Madav Adam, what's it compared to? L'melech Basar Adam, a human king. Shamar Shnei Avadav, he instructs his servants as follows. To one he says, L'echel Amar, Havi Li Chayzim Shati, bring me a badge. Rashi says they would make this tag for a behema or an eved. When you buy it, you put your tag. This way, you know, it identifies its owner. So this one he told, go bring me a chaysim shal tit made of clay. U'echad omar havi li chaysim shal zot. Other one he instructed to bring him, to get himself a golden tag. U'pasha shnev leviu, and both did not bring it. Which one will be punished more severely? The one who had a more difficult job. I certainly say the one who he ordered a tit one, because why don't you do it? It was so easy. He didn't bring it to the king. Likewise, tzitzis, which is a chesem shel eved, Rashi says, Tosfos says, right? This is what's the connection between all this and tzitzis. He says that the tzitzis is a testament to our avdes, that we are avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like our uniform. It's testament to our allegiance, to our belonging, identifying as Hashem's people. Tanya Rami Omer, Chayav Adam Levarach Mei Brachas B'chol Yom. Person should ensure that he has recited 100 brachas every day. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Va'at Yisrael. Ma Hashem Elkecha Shel Mecha. What's Hashem asking of you? And Rashi explains the word Ma Hashem can be read like Meya. Ma is like Meya. Tosfos adds that in the pasuk there are 100 letters. Okay, so 100 brachas. B'chia Rav Avya. So what would he do b'Shabbat of Yom Tov on Shabbos and Yontif, where you have a shorter Shemoneh Esrei, so you're missing some brachas? He would still complete the 100. Taruch Malil, who would make the effort to complete the 100. Bispamarki, using incense, b'samim, and making a bracha on those, umegadi, and all types of nashes and, you know, pastries or whatever, so that he would get to his 100 brachas. Tanya Harami Omer, Chayav Adam Levarach Shalosh Brachas B'chol Yom. The following three brachas will be recited by everybody every day. Eluhen, what are the three brachas? Shasani Yisrael, thanking Hashem for making us a Yisrael. Number two, Shalosani Isha, not an Isha. Shalosani Bor, and not an Amaretz. Rav Achabar Yaakov Shami Librei, he heard that his son was making Kamavarach, he was making the third bracha, Shalosani Bor. So he was surprised. Amar Lei, says, Kuli Hai Nami, to this extent? I mean, I understand, Shleisani Isha, because of the mitzvahs that we do, that Isha is potter, right? And a guy, right, was potter from it. But a bor, I mean, he's chayav a mitzvah, so why are you blessing Hashem? What kind of contrast is that? Amar Leis, he says to his father, so what should I, what bracha should I make? Shleisani Eved. Okay, that you should make. So he says, Hainu Isha, well, what's the point of saying Shleisani Eved? Once you say Shleisani Isha, isn't it included? I mean, they both have the same level of obligations, the Isha and the Eved, so once you're thanking for making me Yisrael and not an Isha, so then Eved as well. Well, Eved still, it earns its own place, its own blessing. Eved Zil Tzfei. Look, an Eved is certainly more degraded and mezuzel than an Isha, as she says, so there's certainly room to make a special bracha, appreciating and thanking Hashem for making us who we are, not the Eved. Okay, so let's do a quick recap. We had the various methods of testing the Tcheles. We spoke about ensuring that Tcheles was sourced in a good source, reputable dealers. We spoke about the question whether tzitzis is zman grum, because night is exempt, or shleia zman grum, because night is chayev. The practical application would be regarding women. We spoke about risa moisis acharta, many different shatim on that. Tcheilos de meliyam, de mekisya kovid, chaysim shel avdus. We concluded with Rameir's halachis, 100 brachas, and the specific brachas of thanksgiving to Hashem, which we say every morning. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabba.